Mr. Mackenzie Reel 12. So you came back, it must have been around about the beginning of October when you were relieved.
Yeah, we just did about a month up there, then we came down. And we came down and...
You were 6 or 7,
You'd move up in the night time, and by the time you got down, you'd move in the next day. So you start away at about 6 o'clock or something, when the other people was coming in, and you say, we're moving at one trench, they would move into your trench. Then you would be out, so that they were in position before you were up there, and you were moving out, because you were using their trucks. You'd go down to debussing, they would be debussing when we went in, and we would get on the bus then. So that was what it was, using trucks like it, of course. Then we'd go down there. Then when we got the new positions, we were just given spots where we had to dig in. And they were trenches. They were entrenched again. We were digging in trenches. So this is the British Army we were going in to say. And we're digging in. And we're told we should do two then, so they could save the bother of digging in. And one was on either side. You'd go down. We got down about 4 foot. So 4 foot. If you were 4 foot, you'd do exceptionally well. 4 to 5 foot. Then that about a foot week after, you knew why you'd done 4 foot. Because it was bloody freezing. It was really, terrible. And you just put you had your two ground sheets. You locked them together, and that was your cover over the top of you. That was it.
So these were new positions that you were digging.
Digging into them.
And you just, how long were you there for?
About a month, I think, I imagine. Maybe a month, about there.
Did you move from there, or?
Moved back into the front line after that.
Yeah, and then you went back into the front line, right.
You just went down there, you dug in, you put in there, and you didn't have to duck anything else, but you knew, if you were still in position, you could still hear the firing going on, but you're behind a range of hills, so you'd be behind that one, but it was up in the valley. The road what took you up there, it took you straight back the line if you were required.
I think you said about a mile or so behind, maybe 2 miles
out there, but it wouldn't be that far, because you could always see the parachute, the flares going up, so it wouldn't be that distance.
So how were you living there then, in this relatively rest area?
When you went there, the first thing, you got a decent meal, you started to cook, the cooks was there, and they put the things up, so when you got there, you were digging in. They stop and you got something to eat on that one. Then the next time, as soon as you dug in on that one, it would take you 2 to 3 hours. Say it was 3 o'clock before you got everything sorted out. They didn't much do with that deer. And if anybody wanted to go and down, I think they brought beer up for some, the beer in. They might have brought the beer up that deer. I don't think we had much of that day, but they brought the beer up for the comfort here, and I think that's what it's called. And that was it. Then you were shattered from the night before, so very few people stopped up. And you wait about into your bed and have a sleep and have a kip. You'll be there from 8 o'clock. And of course, the bugles start to play then. So you revally again after that one. Up, change, and get yourself into the same routine. Then washed, and that was there, and they had to work it out. No, I don't know whether you used the streams there or not, because it wasn't that cold. But there may be, if there would be warm water, I suppose. But you didn't get much that warm. You had to go in. There was very little hot water them days at the time when we were there.
So what were you doing for things like that? Sanitation?
You had to get shaved and everything else. So you'd go in there and get your their mess tin or something like that. Gone in. I think you'd use your mess tin, get some hot water, shave yourself, and that was it. No electric shavers there, you've got to remember. They were only bringing razors and everything else.
But at least back there you were getting hot food.
Getting hot food and getting yourself there, and then they would get it. Then all the
were stuff. You reissued with equipment.
We got the stuff we got took off. So the weather was there, so if the stream was there, you'd go and wash yourself, clean yourself down. I said, that's it. Then you got checked by the doctor. The doctor may come across, check you or something like that. The officer would check you that way. And that would go back to the normal routine again. And then again, they brought the 3.5 there. And I was showing you how to work that. And that was another thing you started to eat. Then they were showing you there's another one, the 16 milli.
What's that?
The mortar. It's a mortar. And they would go on that one, took on that course. Then you took the show. Other things at that one, like reading, map reading and that one. and you got these maps, what you can see. Well, if it had to be there, if I had to look at it now, I wouldn't be able to see a blinking thing because they were all prints. And they were very tight then. And, you know, if you had glasses or anything else, you could hardly see them. But you had to look at them. It wasn't this bad there. You just had to think about where they are. And it was just marks. It was the what you can see, like a knoll here, a stuff there, or something like that one, or a tree had been knocked down. But you could understand something. If it was a bombardment, they could be knocked to bits. So you had to try and work them out to see that one. And you look for the positions. You got the high points, which the officers went to see, and showing what they were and the points where it was, and where they think where the attack was going to come in. So that was going on then. The same time, we're getting kitted out and cleaned. Clean your socks. If you had your socks and you didn't put a pair in, you try to keep them, you wash them and hung them up, well, as best you can. Hanging up with them was just on a bush and everything else, because they're knee pegs. So you just stuck them on a bush and hope for the best.
So you lived all this time just in under canvas?
Yes, under the things, yeah.
Under the canvas sheets that you described, doing.
That's it.
And you were doing this sort of training each year?
Yeah.
Map reading and weapons training.
Yeah. Part of the same routine, learning the same again, picking it up. Then of course you had sport, you mean? So there was a sport then. There was a bit of where the Yankees had been like cleaning it up. So you played basketball as a one. You tried to play football then. But that was it. And that was,
yeah. Did you get any other spare time? What else was going on? Any other things that you do in spare time?
If there was a cinema, if it was something, there was a cinema come up, and he travelled up the cinema. The big thing at the
mobile theater. Cinema.
Mobile cinema, and also the big thing of the day that was there, the nappy wagon came up, and you could get a few of the niceties.
What was in the nappy wagon then?
It was chocolate. A lot of people were still eating tin fruit, starting to eat that tin fruit, buy tin fruit. That was one of the things you used to eat, tin fruit. Chocolate. We were getting plenty of cigarettes, but there were still cigarettes there. You know, some people were having to smoke because they were getting used to smoking then. Most of them were smoking like they had to. Then tollies, you had to get the tollies and everything else, you know, and that was what it was. Clean.
What about this, I'm intrigued about this mobile cinema, what was that like?
They just come up and you sat there, you sat on the bank and that was what it was, you were sitting outside and when it got dark.
Was it a converted truck or something?
Truck just come up and he just put this cinema, I can't remember any of them blinking films.
I was just going to ask you what films you saw.
I'm just saying, it'd be one of the American films that I've taken to be there. Or it could be one of the daft English comedies, I don't know, but it was just what they came up with. You sat down with that one. If you were fortunate that time, and you were picked, there might be a live show, and there might be a couple of wagons taking you down to see the live show. And there was a few stars come out, but don't think that with like Bo Pope and them ones, that was for the Americans. I never, unless they were further down, somewhere like that. That was it. But some of the people came out and, you know, tried to do a bit of entertainment before. But that was far and few between, but that was it. But if you want to go down and you got a chance to go to A echelon and B echelon, right, well, those facilities there to be seen. Because nearly all the time the objection was down there. So if you ever brought the line, you got, you know, going down to get changed or change your, like your boots. But I always find one thing about this place, and I couldn't understand it. Why the English and the world never does it. They send men in 18 and 19, they send them in as 18-year-olds, and you're 19 when you go out there. They didn't realise that you're growing. And when you get your shoes, you got your winter boots. But at the end of the day, who grown? I mean, say I was grown, and the same time, right, it may be bad rush and everything else, but when you're fit and everything else, you're like doing exercise, you're doing a mile, you're going to your run, a 3-mile run, and down the bottom, but when you're up there in the line, you're lying, and you're not moving very much, you're just moving there, so you put the weight on, and it was that one, and if you're growing, some of the lads was good. I mean, so you had ice shoes and something, they were bloody nine by the time. You know, that type of thing, you know. And they were tight shoes. And you had to put two pair of socks on to keep your feet warm. We said 40 degrees is not, nothing unusual in that up there. 40 degrees, you know what I mean? And once it hit that type, it's very, very good and below that one. And the snow came and the snow used to do it. And it was no, you know, it was never there. And you're freezing everything else. And you really, you'd walk out even that one where we've got them. First year, I remember going out and a lad coming out and we're going on like, a march up the line, going up the track and put a, like how you'd done it, march about 5 mile in, drop down, take this one. And the lad could his new jumper, his new coat. Well, they get them. The stitching was, didn't hold it because it was a part in it across there. And we learned with them ones, you couldn't put the top on them because you couldn't bring them here. If you're out, you were frightened because somebody get close to you and you couldn't hear them. When you went like that, it was there. So you had to put them down. You had to put your cap commuters on again to keep yourself warm. It was there. But if one had one up, the other one had to have it off. It was another thing you learn.
Things like that you don't think about.
Well, I never thought it. And it was just here.
So how long were you in this rest and recuperation area?
Oh, it's only a month. We're doing now for a month, then we went straight back in.
This would be the whole battalion.
Oh, the whole battalion comes out. Oh, the whole battalion. But they would, when you come out, they would keep the E echelon and B echelon in position. You know, E echelon for the stores and that.
Well, just then you just mentioned the echelon there. Can you describe what was the echelon?
Well, I never got E echelon. I never got into E echelon. But B echelon would where the doctor would be, the stores where you could go into the stores. And if you went down there, you'd get washed and changed and stuff like that. If you went down. If you were lucky, you'd get down there, you could get yourself changed, get yourself some washing and that done, and it'd be cleaned up. So you're like getting cleaned. They would bring what if there wasn't nothing going on, you'd bring your, maybe the, you know, about 12 you down and get yourself all cleaned up and set them up.
So this was part of the battalion, wasn't it?
Oh, right, part of the battalion.
I mean, so what exactly was it? It was just the store area?
That would be the bugle section, it would be the bugle section, it would be the medic centre. The medic centre was there. That's when I come down to get them legs on my back. But if we had to come down, we had to walk sometimes 2 miles from there down, and then see a mile down the hill to get out the bottom to get the road to go in there. And then you had to get yourself fixed up and get on that wagon again and come all the way back. When you're down there and you've had 3 hours, you had no sleep, you're back up again and you're straight back up again. If you're drawing a bloody undraw, you wrote again, so you know that was it.
So how far behind would the echelon be?
It was about 2 miles, I think, 10 miles for the echelon, because he had to get all of like the petrol and stuff like that and all.
So the echelon was further behind.
Oh, that's it. We'll bring an ammunition. It'd be an ammunition things like that one.
So echelon further behind.
That would be
echelon.
That's right. Echelon would be doing the signs. Saying, you know, the signs, what you're going across when you went across. You move up with DLI, you've got the DLI thing, and give you the directions and that one, that we doing that one.
You mentioned ammunition.
Ammunition we brought up, well, the ammunition was always brought up.
From the echelon.
And then brought up. There was a big dump somewhere, some of the places where we're up, there was big dumps of the stuff there as well, brought up. And the big drums. Then we start using the drums after that with the diesel in. If you were standing out there because it was bloody freezing and everything else, you start using the drums, putting the holes in and just putting the diesel in them to keep yourself warm.
Oh, was this up in the line?
No, you didn't use the down, you don't stay, so you can keep the engines going and everything else. Wagon driver would have a heck of a job with them because it had to keep the stuff going. And when if we were further down, you went down over, they weren't seen, you stand there and you take your gloves up and you'd be standing next to them drinking diesel. But if we said, maybe it was diesel or petrol, it was still getting you warm.
So you had access to A and B echelons sometimes. You were taken down there for...
B echelons, I can never remember going to E echelon. Unless it was there. I can't remember going to E echelon. I can't remember ever moving into B echelon.
So it was just something you were aware of?
That's it, B echelon and E echelon.
But B, you went to...
B, you'd go and do and get yourself chained and everything else you had to go and do. You went to see a doctor. Well, I got them bites on me back the first time. I put my knee out and I got bit by the blinking rat, so I was tugged down to Norwegian Marsh, where I was for that one. That was on that one.
Where was that, the MASH? The Norwegian MASH? Was that?
It was a hospital, it was a big hospital. There was the Norwegian one. It's called Norwegian MASH. That's what
I went for the knee.
I got there.
When you had those bites on your back and you were taken back.
I just went in the doctor. You just took your kit and everything else.
So what sort of medical facilities were available there?
Wait, just a doctor and
a tent. Just
a doctor. A doctor and a tent. If it was there, if it wasn't there, you moved on. You had a lad up in the line with you, a medic in a line. You can get there. You had a medic in the company, every company, and that was in there. We had a medic, and he could do a little bit of administration, like he could pull a spell out or something like that, or maybe put a elastoplast on you, something like that, if you cut there, that type of cuts, and usual braces, not one, but if you had to really, go down, you had to.
So that's all you had in the front line, just a medic?
Oh, aye. He had a pair of scissors to cut your toenails, because that was another thing you didn't have, you never think of that. Cut your toenails
and then the next medical
that would be the doctor
at B
Echelon. That's it.
And the hospital that you said.
Then you go further down. That was over the bridge. That's over the bridge. That's the other thing. That would be 10-15 miles down the road. And depending where it was, how bad you were, you'd go further down. You always want to get in everybody's up there in the line. Everybody wants to get in a helicopter. You always want to get in a helicopter. Get in a helicopter. Because once you go to them, you're away. You prayed for them.
So what other sorts of things were you doing in this rest and recuperation period? Is there anything else that sticks in your mind?
No, not there. Just moving in, getting your football and everything else. You knew we were going back up again. That was what it was. You're always hearing about the big hill. The big hill, that's little near Gibraltar. You always hope you haven't got a gun in that, or when you haven't got a gun in the hook.
And the hook, so you were learning about
you got a newsletter, and it came through. And remember, this is where we're all football supporters, so you're waiting for the results coming through, And it didn't come in, and the first paper I ever got was pretty brilliant, because it gave us results, but we never heard for quite a while. It didn't give you the tables, but it gave you, a few results.
Well, things you mentioned, that contact with home. How did you keep in touch with home?
Sent emails. You wrote the letters out. Not that we wrote very many, but between a lot of them, we haven't written very much, because we're too tired and things. But if you sat down, you wrote the one. The commonest letter was, dear mother or dear sister, dear dad, dear wife, this is beautiful up here. The land is marvellous. The scenery is fantastic. It is not raining today, so it is great. Or it's not cold today. It is marvellous. The sun shines, and that was the type of thing. Never said no to one else. That was it. Enjoying in some dog bug used to put on, I am enjoying every moment of it. We never done just that one. It was emails. You filled in the same drafting. I received your letter. Later he goes, send a letter back to the Lord Mayor for the Durham when we got the parcel and that, We have received parcels here. Didn't want to tell them that they didn't send the battery. The batteries hadn't got there because the batteries were short. We haven't got them.
Yeah, you got some parcels, didn't you?
That's right.
What was in them?
The parcel, there was a radio there, that's what they sent with radios. But the batteries didn't last long, the batteries were put batteries, so we couldn't get the batteries. You were already doing Echelon and Echelon, and you maybe be doing with the motors there, because they would set them up, but when we were up there, you didn't need them, because Rose, Rose, I love you, and see the pyramids along the Nile, and you, Geordie, says you should go home, and that type of thing was continuous.
You've been richly entertained by the
Chinese or the North Koreans, whichever it was.
What other things were in this parcel that you got from the Lord there?
You got some biscuits, I think it was, and sweets, I think it was. I actually can't remember them because it didn't affect me. The first parcel I ever got was when my sister sent us, when I got across there, and it came through for us. Was the best thing that ever came through was a carton of pepper. Because I cannot eat nothing without pepper. I'm a fanatic for pepper. And that came in with a cake. But again, somebody was tampering with them, the parcels. Somebody along the thing, because there were people on there.
Somebody had had a go at them.
Yeah, people were sending your money out. A lot of that money never came through. Because you were getting a letter, dear mother, I have not received this money, 10 shillings. So we don't know what was going that way. But again, we never did.
So some of these parcels have been opened?
Yeah, well, they've been on transit, somebody's done it. On transit, you don't know where it was. I got a one, I mean, for me birthday, and that was what it was. Just to help her out, you know. But we don't know.
What about the mail? Did he get through regular?
The mail came, when it went up there, came, I think it was about once a week, we got it up there. Unless we could get it a bit more, but once a week would be about the average.
Would you think that, was it good for morale when the mail came through, do you think?
Yeah, just the married men, it was only the married men. There was officers may have had it, the officers may have done it, but for us it was, most were just single blokes, man, so it didn't really
bother you that much.
Didn't bother that much. All that we wanted now was how will Newcastle make progress in the cup? Because it was there.
So you'd had your first tour of duty in the line and you'd come out of this rest area. Had that period affected the men in any way, do you think? The effects of the first exposure to danger and fighting, do you think it affected them very much?
Yeah, it was easy. The first time was up, the second time was a bit rougher. But the first time there, it was the second time you went up. But that was really worse,
the second time.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but you were going into where people had been, you were finding a couple of bodies that had been lying there that hadn't. Or they bring something in like that, that was what it was. But you wouldn't have to hop something, most you wouldn't see it. But it was like the wire would go straight through, oh, there's a body coming in. They were always worried about that. Anybody ever tell you who it was or anything like that? You say now it's what it was. Or somebody being shot. You didn't know, because somebody would be going down the hutch to get a water bottle filled, right? And he would see, you know, the kids carrying somebody in. So that was what it was. And it was the hotline. Did anybody ever tell you what it was? And by the time they got it across, it's like, you know, the cat is black. It's bloody got spots on it before it comes back to you. That was what it was.
Chinese whispers.
That's right, Chinese whispers. And the only way you could find it was going up the top and getting up into the office, you know, there and sorting the things out. And when you went up there, you'd find out what it was. Come back and tell them. And you sit down and would put there. Because we most would be just joined together, you know, and that type of thing. After being washing that. A bit not in that. You're going to tell them, right, the worst sent the tail, the girl all that. And that was it. Quieting them down after that one.
So there was a lot of gossip and...
Well, it wasn't gossip.
Rumours.
It was just like, I think that's every time you came across, and all there was a hill, there was a tack going on in that hill. And it was, you could see sometimes, it was there, or they were getting hit, and that was what it was.
Did you know much about what was going on in Elf? I mean, you described a little bit, you said it was a newsletter.
No, that was just the local news, that was the news from the bottom. You didn't get what was happening on the front line, you never got none of that.
I was just wondering if you got any other information
if you went up and seen the opposite, he says, there's been they fit the hook, right, or they fit the American sector. So, and there's movement down here. And that was what it was. Or the, you know, the old pigs would say something. So they were telling you. So you what they're going to do? Your job was to go and check them. That was all it was. You always had to hope that you'd hold them back in the big artillery, you know, before they moved you. Because it was a big fixed line. A big area for them to come across. I mean, see, they tried an attack on 355. That's what they're doing. They got a good hiding on that one.
Yeah. Oh, but do you know how far you were from places like the Hook and Gibraltar?
I've been on the Hook. I went on the Hook. We went up there, we came out the line on the first time, the second time we came out.
The second time you
came out? Yeah, the second time we came out and we were waiting there and we were in these tents. We were in tents this time because you kind of dig in. We're in the tents on there. And all of a sudden they just come up, you're moving out. And went through the American sector. Just stood there. Now that was the first time we were using them automatic gearboxes. Brought them in. got the automatic, you know, wagons up. The American, well, the Canadians, the Canadian, the Canadian people up. And they just dropped us so far up, and up we went. Then we came, so we didn't want it over there, and then, because that was it. I think one of the Black Watch companies got there, and they held back at the end, but we went there. Well, you know, just in case that would take into them. But they just got so far in, but that was what it was. And soon learned about that one, because there was very lights going up. There was fluorescent coming down off the sky and everything else. But then we just pulled back again, and went back there where we were.
Well, obviously you went back in the line the second time. I mean, just before we come on to that, did religion play a very big part?
Were
the services and...
The officers used to go and do. Our Sawbridge was like an organist, so he would get away and he was going away for a lot of that type of thing. The only time I ever got a service, twice, was once when a priest came up when A Company was going in, and he came up, he was there giving the service. You know, it was there, and it was either, you know, Church of England or that one, but he done this one when we were gonna one point, right? And the second time was when he came in again after that one, and we're on 355. And we're gonna do an attack on that one. And that's most of the time he went down over, he could go to church services. We were out the line, there was all his, you know, service there. But if you're in the bottom, if you don't on the bottom end, sometimes you could go, you know, if it was quiet, well, I say quiet, if it, most of the time was that way inclined, and it's freezing that one, they would go down, and the lads would go down, and they would just stand there, put it on. Catholics, you know, the lads up with the Catholics, they would get into that one and go down and have that one. Whether you done it when one, or the one, well, one, well, you know, the battalion or something like that, would be that one, but they could go and do that one. Otherwise, another thing that only time when we're down there for stand on parade or something like that, we're going to, you know, do the church services there. Or if somebody got killed, you'd have to do that one, you know, I mean, there would be a service for that type of thing. If you're picked, well, that was all we were doing, you got that.
What was discipline and morale like at this time? Was it good?
Oh, it was quite all right, wasn't it? You weren't getting R&R then until the start of R&R, and that was when it started, the dodgy body started then.
So, oh man, we'll get back. You went back into the line again. I mean, it would be end of October.
Well, it'd be in October. Been in October, and we'll get November. Went back in November.
November.
In December, and then December. December. Well, next time we went in again.
Obviously, it was getting colder.
It was freezing. In December, we went in. In December, went in. That's when I tell you, we're on that one.
Were you issued with any, you were obviously issued with winter clothing?
Almost when we came down for, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When we'd just been there, in that position where we dug in, that, we changed over. The weather changed atrocious. I mean, say, it was just before, it'd be Christmas, you know, that one. It was Christmas coming on, and we got all the new stuff in. I mean, say, September, September changed to dramatic in September. And then, by the time out, it was pretty freezing. And then, as I say, we dug in about 4 feet, and that was it. When we got there, on that camp, there was really snow was in. We were covered up with snow.
So from that, it was snowing from then on?
Yeah, snow. It isn't. It snows every time, but it's like a blizzard out there. And as I say, after that, we stuck ourselves in, and we were down for the Christmas. We're going to stop for the Christmas. And we knew we were going up straight away, because I think we were given the date for the 28th or 29th. December. I know it was something like that, because I went on the 25th, Christmas. Oh, we had a photographer there coming to do the drums. I forgot about him. And that one, he came to give that one. Forgot about that. The photographer came up. Gourmand, was it Gourmand News or something like that? Or a Path News. It must have been Path News. Path News it must have been. And we're standing there, we're doing what you've just asked us about, the church services. We're all doing the service and we're singing carols and that. And he's got me standing there, he's got me photographed singing, and I'm bloody tone deaf. But I'm standing there. Now, the reason why I'm starting that one is because I'm going, as soon as it comes up, I'd had me bit of turkey and stuff like that. And me and the other lad had to go straight into this, we're going up onto new positions with the Australians. So that was there, and we just went up there. So he says, have you having a good Christmas? I said, I never know until I get up there. And I said, you want to come up with us? And he didn't answer us.